Actually, that's something
nope.
else. We've heard quite enough of that. Where's my other? I need more things open. Here we go. Do we have a score for you for this?
I don't think so. It might be on the FTP, I don't know.
Yeah, so just part, to give them something impossible
yeah.
to play. Excellent idea. Excellent idea.
I was surprised how they did that.
I was like completely astounded. They actually played that because it wasn't easy. But there's a couple three models. Pretty simple to understand the models. Did you like any of them that they?
The whistly
one I like. And that worked nice.
Yeah, I liked all of them.
Yeah.
The first one I was just kind of at a loss of what to do, because at the tempo that I was going at, it didn't really, if I did anything slower than that, it would just kind of seem like it was matching
the
melody.
And by the way, that we always are up against that. It's like if I go too slow, I hear every note and it's too boring.
Yeah.
And if I go too fast, it's like a blur and that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And nice little gentle intro as well, which is nice. Do I have your score here? Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's on Canvas?
With the other score I sent you today. The same one.
On Canvas? On Canvas.
Yeah.
Or on Canvas.
From today.
Yes, I do. I kind of tried to figure that out after a while. Wait, where's... I really don't want to answer you, babe. I don't know what the last three bars are, but that's a hard one to harmonize, by the way, because he actually has got like some bitonality going on when he does this piece. Do you guys know this piece at all? It's worth looking up. It's a nice piece. So this worked out well. This worked well. That it would stay with thirds at the end. You might have gone between thirds and sixths here, and it might have done a little better because you're really leaning on that B natural, and it's Dorian, but there's a lot of B naturals in there. You might open that up when you go to the D, go out to the six, and so let that thirds and sixths breathe a little more probably, but that works well, and you've got the counter melody thing going here, okay. And very playable, I think. The harp looks. You guys did very well on the harp. For the most part,
I do have one question. She said that during the session that I needed to write it all on one clef.
That you do.
But
not here, not this.
No, she was referring to that too.
Well, this can't be in one clef.
I was wondering what she meant by that.
No, this can't be in one clef. This is fine. What she's talking about, where is that? I think. Oh, this right here.
She wanted that to be all in one clef.
This is should be in one clef. Okay. Because this is in the treble clef.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what she meant.
Yeah,
okay,
so and the thing is, you're reacting to what you see in literature, but our people do not want to see that. Because in literature, everything that you see is play. You know, the left hand is in the bottom staff, and the right hand's in the top staff, and they do not want to see that. So just so that you know but if you open up any Ravel score, any Debussy score, that's exactly what you see, and it's exactly not what they want to do. Just keep that in mind. I mean, that's a big deal because we all see that in all the orchestration books and all the literature out there, and they have no use for that because they're reading, and so it's a hard enough instrument to read on.
So, like in a session, you'd write it the way that she mentioned, but for a classical concert, you'd write.
I would just write it. I wouldn't separate their left and right hands. Mm-hmm. I think that's an old school thing. I mean, these guys also go play concerts. So, and the thing is, their literature. They play over and over again, and they rehearse it a lot. So that's something that they can deal with. But when they're reading, they need this. But then why not just write the way it's comfortable for them anyway? So I think if you're writing a concert or in life, I think I would just try to take them at their word for it, you know. There's going to be enough ambiguity talking to them about what they'd like to see and what they don't like to see. Just keep your ears open every time you write for them. Make sure that you talk to them. Would this work? And look at their part and see what they marked, you know. It's one of those things. Well, you guys know that. I mean, you do your best to mark it, and then you look at what they've done, and they put a pedal marking in early or late or in between, and it's like, well, I thought I did that right. So just keep your antennae out when you're doing all this stuff, and you learn as you go. I mean, I learn from these guys all the time, you know. And a lot of times, in when you're doing professional sessions, you won't have time to do that. I mean, you've got too many other things on your brain to go ask them how did that work. And they're going to tell you in a professional session, you're beautiful, babe, because they want you to hire them. You know, that's the advantage of doing this, is they'll tell you what they think. You know, they still want you to hire them, so they're going to be a little gentle. But certainly not like, you know, when you may hire them again, you know. So just keep that in mind. But do keep your antennae out. I mean, watch how they do that. Watch when they wrinkle their nose at something. You know, watch how they bow. All that stuff. Internalize all that stuff as best you can, and then try to give it back to them the next time. You know, that it'll just make everything better. You know, all the way around. Okay. And that's one of those ones that's hard. And that's the brass again. Let's put that away. And I'm going to jump over him. Who is this? Is it, do you have your score here? Out pretty well. All those models seem to work out okay. She's got the Lorraine Bowing at the beginning, if you're enjoying that sort of thing. Then she's got the counter line underneath the violin, and then the counter line underneath the cello. So he's got these guys an octave apart, and then the counter thing is an octave apart as well. That works out very nicely. It's a nice, rich, full sound. Works well. All the little works good. Butter it up. All the little flurry things that she's got seem to be pretty well balanced. So, and I love this. I know it's really stupid simple, but I love the pizzicato just pluck along with that. You know, I would probably go stems up and stems down, but you know, in this, having said that, I may actually not, because this is fussy enough, and you know, that would just be a lot of notes to look at. I mean, a lot of ink to look at. So this may be okay, but with the Divisi is fine. You know,
the effect with the bass on that is so nice.
What's that?
Because it gave the effect with the bass on that, because it gives you the like illusion of like the bump bump bump.